there are three incidents. Jesus has just come into Jerusalem on the Palm Sunday. He has overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, and he's questioned, "By what authority are you doing this?" And he answers the question by asking his questioners a question for them to consider. And then he tells the parable of the two sons. And then we have the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And we'll think of these three together. First of all, the question that which was addressed to him about his authority. Verse 23 of Matthew 21. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" In other words, did John's baptism come from God, or was it just a human idea? They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Now this incident happened while he was teaching the kingdom of God, the way of righteousness, judgment upon the wicked, the forgiveness of sins, and hope for the world, his main theme. And the religious leaders say to him, "By what authority are you teaching these things?" Recently, I had a letter from a non-believer, not an atheist. He says he believes there's some spiritual power somewhere. And in that letter, he said to me, "By what authority are you teaching what you do in the pulpit in St. David's Sunday by Sunday?" And he was angry. Angry that I would have the cheek to get up here and teach things about by what authority, he said. I sometimes wonder that myself, actually. I feel, what am I doing standing here? But anyway, he was challenging me. In earlier discussions with this same man, I really came to the conclusion that he didn't really want to know the truth. He was just annoyed that someone was confidently believing and teaching what he believed to be the truth. That's why Jesus asked them a question in return. He wanted to find out whether they really wanted to know the answer. We'll come back to that in a minute. But let's say something about authority itself. Remember, much earlier in Jesus' ministry, he had entered Capernaum, and a centurion came to him and said, "Lord, my servant lies at home and paralyzed in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." See, the centurion recognized the chain of authority. He could give orders to soldiers under him because he himself was under authority of the commander, who himself was under authority of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who himself was under the authority of the emperor. And because of this chain of authority, the centurion, because he was under authority, had authority to order others about. And he recognized that Jesus, too, was under authority. He was under the authority of God, not men. Because he was under the authority of God, therefore he could do God's work and heal the sick. And I mentioned to the children, if you were here this morning for the children's address, another chain of authority. The boss, the one in authority in the classroom, is the teacher, overhears the head teacher, over the head teacher in some sort of complicated way is the government, over the government is the people, because we elect or dismiss the government once every 5 years, and over the people of this country there should be God. We ourselves should be under the authority of God. And if there's any break in the link, there's trouble. If the teacher doesn't obey the head teacher, there's trouble in the classroom. If the head teacher doesn't obey the government, there's trouble in the school. If the government don't obey the people, you've got a dictatorship. And if the people don't obey God, the whole world's in trouble. And no government can save it. All true authority goes right up to God himself, you see. However, God's authority is not rigid. It's not that he controls us like a puppeteer controlling puppets. But that's illustrated in the next parable, which is the parable of a father and sons. So God's authority over us is likened not to a boss and an employee, or a master and slave, or a puppeteer and a puppet, but to a father and son. Now, a good father gives his son a certain amount of freedom. He doesn't want to control everything he does. Considerable freedom indeed. And so God gives us, human beings, a considerable amount of freedom. He doesn't control everywhere that you go and everything you do. He wants us to be free. There are many good choices we can make in the world. And God wants us to make choices for ourselves. He doesn't want us to choose evil, but he wants us to choose one of the many good things we can do with our lives. But it is not chaos, because he does also give us guidelines which restrict us a bit. He gives us the Ten Commandments. He gives us the Sermon on the Mount. And we must keep in touch with the Lord of all, the Father of all, so that we live under his gracious and good and freedom-giving authority. If any part of the chain of authority collapses, as I've said, the whole system collapses. And if we break off our relationship with God, the source of life, the world will be full of decay and death, which it is. And as I was saying this morning, the meaning of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that Adam and Eve are tempted to make themselves their own authority instead of living under the authority of God, and they succumb to that temptation. In our nation today, what is the authority for deciding the difference between right and wrong? We talk about a secular society. Secularism began in the French Revolution, when those who led the French Revolution said, there is no way God can tell us the difference between right and wrong. We human beings have to decide for ourselves, and that's what secularism is. So we ourselves become the deciders of what is right and wrong. That means in the end we just follow our feelings. And your feeling might be different than mine, so it leads to conflict and chaos in the world. That's what secularism is. It's a refusal to submit to the authority of God. So ideas of right and wrong come from our human wisdom, in other words, from man. Remember the question Jesus asked the religious leaders? John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from man? The answer from man would have been the secular answer, you see. But their question to Jesus is, where is your authority coming from? Now, he spoke with authority. That means people could tell that when he spoke about God, he knew what he was talking about. And he claimed to have authority. He claimed to have authority to forgive sins. What a wonderful authority that is. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Son of God has authority to forgive you and me our sins? He claimed to have authority to cleanse the temple and overturn the tables of the money changers. But he submitted to his father's authority unto death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so he made himself of no earthly authority. He submitted himself not only to the authority of his father, but he allowed the powers of this world to have authority over him. He could have called on a legion of angels to save him, but he deliberately allowed Pilate and the other leaders to take him and crucify him. But what did he say after his resurrection from the dead? He said, "All authority in heaven or on earth has been given to me. Go you therefore under my authority into all the world and preach the gospel." So when we think of the authority of Jesus, our proclamation is that he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And with him and in him we too shall reign. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God gave us human beings authority over the natural world. We're to care for and love the natural world, the animals and the plants and the environment. Just as God loves all that he has made, we have to love it. And God's given us authority. That means responsibility to care for this world. And if we don't, what a terrible thing it is. So they asked Jesus, "By what authority did you do this?" Now he seems to avoid their question. He says, "Now I'm not going to answer that question until you answer this one. Where did John the Baptist's authority come from? From God or from man?" Now why did he ask that question? Well, they went away and thought, "Now we can't answer that question, because if we say John the Baptist's authority was just a human thing, then the crowd will be angry with us, because they know John was a prophet. But if we say that authority comes from God, then he'll say to us, 'Well, why didn't you believe him then?'" So they said, "Well, I'm sorry, we can't answer the question." In other words, their reaction to Jesus' question showed that they were not prepared honestly to accept his answer to their question. Therefore, there was no point in answering their question, because they wouldn't accept it. Now, people have various reasons for inquiring about the Christian faith. Like these leaders, they inquired of Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things?" But it was an insincere inquiry. They weren't prepared to accept the answer. It was insincere. And there are people today who inquire about religion, but they're not sincere. I don't mean they're all insincere. Some are very sincere, but some aren't. They may claim to be being on a quest for spiritual truth. That's all right, as long as they don't find the answer. Or they might just be curious. Or it might be a way of quietening their consciences. But for many, there is a sincere desire to seek and to ponder. And for those, we must help. But for others, they don't want the answer. I'm amazed at the number of books which are written about the Christian faith by people who don't want to believe and say they don't want to believe. There are many of them, scholars who write them. And I wonder, and I said this to the chap who wrote to me and said, "By what authority are you preaching in St. David's?" I said to him, "Why are these books you're always quoting to me, these anti-Christian books, why do those writers, why do they bother to write them? Why can't they let go of this subject? They're like moths round a light that cannot let go of it." The next, let's just read about the two sons then. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Note the point. God's relationship to us, again, is a father to son, not master to slave. And the father says to his sons, go and work in my vineyard. Not for yourself, but for the vineyard. And he says to us, go and work in this world, not for yourself, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. And he calls us all to serve him. But there's a danger, you know, when we serve God. There's a danger. The danger that we use our service to God for our own proud, selfish ends. We may go into the ministry, for example, become like me. Maybe we do it so that we'll be respected in the community, or that we'll get the best seats at the festivals or whatever it is. And so we can misuse the authority which the Lord gives us. And that's the constant theme of the prophets in the Bible. They kept saying that the religious leaders are using their authority for their own ends. And so they're distorting the true religion. Now, the Church of Jesus is essential for the work of the gospel. But religion can also be the worst, can be where the worst of human wickedness is known. Religion can be turned completely upside down, so it becomes a force for evil sometimes in the world. And that's why Jesus' strongest words of condemnation are used against the religious establishment. Notice in this parable, one of the sons says he will go and work in the vineyard, but doesn't. Jesus means by that the religious professionals who appeared to be the ones to dedicate their lives to the service of the vineyard, but they didn't. Far greater effect were the ordinary people who were converted, and through their witness, people were brought to Christ. Now, whether or not I am a good minister, the witness of lay people is essential. And it's often more effective than that of the professional minister. What this country needs and what the world needs is lay people who are Christians and standing and living for Christ. It needs that very much, particularly in our secular age. And so Jesus then tells the parable of the workers in the vineyard. That's those people who are the professional religious people who claim to be serving God in his vineyard. And in the parable, they're just using the vineyard for their own ends. And so God has to send messengers to them to tell them to repent. Those are the prophets of the Old Testament who speak against the priests and the religious leaders. But the priests and the religious leaders reject God's prophets. And so lastly, God sends them his own son. And they reject him too. They reject him too. And he is crucified. And at the end of that parable, Jesus says, and God's going to take away the kingdom from this people who rejected the prophets and who rejected my son. And so 30 years after the time of Jesus, the land of Israel was destroyed. The Jews scattered to the ends of the earth. On my very first visit to Israel, we were taken around by an Arab taxi driver. And he really believed the Bible, but he was against the Jews living in his land. And I said to him, you believe the Bible, and you're against the Jews living here, but in the Bible we read that God's going to bring the Jews back to their homeland. He said, but God cancelled that promise, is what he told me. God cancelled that promise in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where Jesus said, this vineyard will be taken away from you and given to others. Was he right in saying that? Well, I'm not going to explain it all now, there's no time. But he was, I believe, if I may humbly say, partly right. For and that's what Jesus did say. But Jesus tells us elsewhere later on that the vineyard will be taken away from them, but not forever. Not forever. But that's another subject. But for us, we, workers in the vineyard, must keep in touch with he who is the Lord of the vineyard. We must keep in touch with the vine, for Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. But that is the way to bear much fruit. And Jesus too, in a way, is the true son who went into the vineyard and calls us to be with him. Now what we have to do, what we have to do as human beings on this earth, is recognize and acknowledge the authority of Jesus in our own lives and pray that the world might know him as Lord. If anyone here feels they haven't acknowledged Jesus as Lord of their own life, then speak to me after the service or somebody else and we'll pray for you. And now, let us pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge your authority over all the world, for you're the creator of the world, but it's an authority of love and grace. We're sorry that we as human beings have trusted our own wisdom, the wisdom of men, and we pray that all of our lives might be given to you, for you are Lord of all, and you raised Jesus from the dead, that all authority in heaven and earth should be given to him forever. We pray that by your grace and love, we too might share something of that authority as we care for this wonderful world which you have made and be ready for that day when we will inherit the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. For the meek will inherit the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.